We will call this meeting to order of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for May 13, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin this morning with our presentation for animal adoption. Before I do that, I would like to recognize former Supervisor Nick Blum, who spent 20 years on this board, and he's there watching us in back to be sure we do a good job. So, thank you for coming, Nick. Okay, well, this is our once-a-month animal adoptions. The Stanislaus County Animal Service Agency has many dogs and cats available for adoption. All these animals are available for adoption at the shelter and are spayed or neutered and have age-appropriate vaccinations and a microchip. Last month, we featured two pets, a cat named Hillary, who was rescued on May 5th, and a dog named Zena, who was adopted on April 14th. Ajax, who was featured in March, was rescued on April 11th. We have two additional pets today that are available for adoption. First, our cat is Chowder. Our featured cat today is a beautiful long-haired Lynx Point Siamese cat. She's approximately 2 years old, spayed and microchipped, and she has been with the Animal Services Agency since April 26th. Want to take a look at the cat for all those of you in our audience? Our featured dog today is Nico. Nico is a brown Parsons Russell Terrier mix. He is approximately 9 months old and is neutered and microchipped. He has been with the Stanislaus Animal Services Agency since April 9th. Good luck. Cute dog. Both animals are available today for adoption at the Stanislaus Animal Shelter Agency. Please remember that adding a new member to your family is a big commitment and that the shelter staff are there to help you meet your new best friends. To adopt either of these animals or other animals that are available, please visit our shelter at 3647 Cornucopia Way in Modesto or call the animal shelter at 558-7387. Adoptable animals can be viewed at www.stancounty.com/animalservices. Okay, great. Thank you for coming. Well, hope those animals are adopted out today. Okay, our second presentation is Mental Health Month in Stanislaus County. Madeline Scheffler.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, board members, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. I'm pleased to present today as we honor May is Mental Health Month. The theme for this year nationwide is Mind Your Health. This year's theme of May is Mental Health Month, Mind Your Health, called attention to the strategies and approaches that help individuals achieve overall health and wellness. Wellness is much more than the absence of disease. Wellness is essential to living a full and productive life. As I've noted before, for many years, the focus has been on mental illness. However, I believe the conversation began to change when we realized that recovery was possible, even for individuals with serious mental illnesses. This realization has made a profound difference in how we view our work. This year's theme continues to focus on mental health and strategies that are empowering and powerful. It is clear that the earlier that we develop strategies to protect and enhance our mental health, the more likely it is that we will successfully counteract the stigma and discrimination that is associated with mental illness. Youth can lead the way by having the incredible courage to speak out about mental health challenges and by demonstrating a positive view of their future despite the challenges. Their leadership can potentially save lives by ending the silence that stigma creates. Today I'd like to acknowledge my Chief of the Children's System of Care, Shannon McDonald. And with her, assisting me in this presentation, is Jeff Sabian, who is the coordinator of our Juvenile Justice Mental Health Unit. And with him, the young leaders that he has brought with him today. At this time, I'd like to ask them to come forward and speak on this important topic.
Good morning, Board. I'm Jeff Sabian. I'm the Program Coordinator for Juvenile Justice Behavioral Health. Thanks for having us here this morning. I run our mental health program. We provide a full array of services for youth on probation or at risk of probation, and also that are incarcerated in our local juvenile hall and our new juvenile commitment facility. One of the things that we started to do different is really try to look at our young people at risk of probation different than we had before. Instead of seeing them at risk, we want to see them at promise. And so with that, we've started a youth leadership movement for young people our hopes are that if we can connect young people into something bigger than themselves, get them involved in community service, giving back to our community, they are less likely to recidivate and be a detriment to society. So as one of our efforts, we started a program which is called Youth in Mind, and our youth leadership specialist, Carlos Falcone, is here to talk about that.
Good morning. Chairman DiMartini, Board of Supervisors, Board. So thank you for your complete support on behalf of mental health, our department. Speaking about the stigma of not only mental health, but of youth, I think often we may look at youth in our community and might see that there's also a component that's sometimes lacking, right, that our youth may either be, cannot fulfill some of the promises, right, but I think that truthfully, when we have leadership such as the leadership we have here, leadership in our departments throughout the county and, throughout our communities, our families, looking at youth and families, and seeing them with the promise that they are our community, that having the opportunities for youth leadership will certainly, provide the next generation and strengthen our communities. And so the stigma of mental health often not only impacts adults, but, the spectrum is large. It affects, children, youth, and having the opportunity for youth to become involved not only in mental health awareness or mental health advocacy, but youth leadership in general, we find that that has been really one of the primary positive notes of why our youth are thriving. So Youth in Mind started from a conference, California Mental Health Advocates for Children and Youth, and it's one of the longest conferences, mental health conferences here in California. And that's where Youth in Mind started, and basically it started to develop as an opportunity for youth to lead themselves, to provide advocacy, awareness, organizing skills that they could bring to their communities. And recently, in August of last year, we chartered our own Stanislaus Youth in Mind. And the opportunities that I personally have had, seeing the growth and the development of our young leaders, throughout this past year has really become a very emotional and touching part of my life, because I've seen their growth from their personal stories, their hardships, to seeing themselves as leaders and actually leading others, and as well leading with a campaign that promotes mental health awareness and wellness for our community. And after all, having these opportunities to support them with youth in mind, it really has been, we've seen these changes in their lives. And for me, I'm just very thankful to be working in a county that really supports not only mental health awareness, And I want to thank you again for that. And the stories that you're going to hear today from our youth are first-hand experiences that really will open up our hearts and really share their story of how mental health is important to them and how they connect that to other youth in our community. So I'll introduce Cecilia Naranja and Nahira, I'm sorry, and Adriana Olmedo. So first, Cecilia will speak to you.
Hello and good morning. My name is Cecilia Nahara, and I'm 22, and I'm a youth leader. I started my journey very young. My mental health journey has been long and winding, and I'm going to start basically when I was born. I was born into a family with drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and physical violence. And so I was brought into this very chaotic environment, and through that I developed mental health problems such as depression and also ADHD was also something I was diagnosed with when I was put into counseling at 10, and I was able to get medication and intervention through my doctor and Sierra Vista, and was able to actually thrive and do well in school. I was basically a big nerd, is what I'd like to call myself. When I was in junior high and high school, I was in all the clubs, in orchestra, in AP classes, and I thought I was fine. And I got to college, and I was unable to leave the house, unable to function daily and actually go to college. And I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder then. And I was actually suicidal. And I actually was put under a 72-hour hold or suicide watch. And after I was released, I was sent to Josie's Place, the mental health drop-in center. I was set up with a social worker, set up with groups, peer support groups, a peer counselor, and my medication was stabilized. And through Josie's Place, I was actually able to go to CMACI, the mental health conference. And that totally changed my life, because I was put into an environment where youth mattered. The voice of myself and the voice of others who were struggling with the same things were able to advocate for themselves and actually make a difference in our own lives. And in that conference, I was introduced to Youth in Mind, the state chapter. And the state chapter actually inspired the local chapter that we have now. And now I'm a volunteer with the county through juvenile justice. And I'm able to help others that were maybe in some of the same kind of situations. I hate to say this, but I sometimes inspire myself, because I think, you know, I'm able to get out of bed every day and go out and help others. And, you know, when I was like 17, 18, I was in a totally different mindset. And I'm helping those that are going through that transitional age. And through Youth in Mind, I was able to kind of recover and become myself. And now I'm growing into, I guess, a leadership role, and I love it. So that's my story. I'm living with bipolar disorder and ADHD, but it's not something that I see as a negative, but I see it as something I wear as a badge of courage. Whenever I wear green, it represents myself and countless others that don't have a voice yet. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Adriana Medo, and I am currently diagnosed with major depression for recurrent episodes. And though it is not who I am, it is something that I have. It has greatly affected my life in that a lot of my major life decisions have been based on my emotions. And in the past, I have regrettably driven over 80 miles per hour. I have taken more than 25 units in school, and I've ditched many of those days because I just couldn't. I was so depressed that I couldn't even get out of the car to go to class. And I have also volunteered too much, according to my parents. And I have also lived a chronic drug-addictarian lifestyle, and that means that sometimes I ate more than 2 times, like, per day, for, like, every day of the week, junk food. Because I was a stress eater. I ate as much as I could whenever I was depressed. But then there was also other times where I just forgot to eat and I didn't eat at all. But I also never took any actual me time because I was always so caught up with school, working, volunteering. And so I also started to overthink a lot of little things that people did or said. So it wasn't really all bad, though, because I was able to take those 25 units, and I did pass all those classes, and I accidentally got on the dean's list, which was pretty awesome. But the fact that it wasn't that bad was actually the problem for me. I actually finally decided that I really had to take care of myself when I got more into the human services field, and I realized that if I wanted to help out people and help themselves, I had to know what that was like because I didn't know what it was like. So I started presenting more at schools with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, and during one of our little mini presentations to try to recruit more speakers, I met the people at Youth in Mind. And I really, really liked it because with NAMI, you weren't really able to help out or really able to volunteer until you were 18 and over. With Youth in Mind, it encompasses a lot more of the youth, which I really appreciated. I didn't actually go to the meetings, though, until later on when I had to take another class with my human services degree. And so I told my mom that I needed more volunteer hours, even though I was already volunteering with different agencies. But so I was finally able to go. And I have really, really enjoyed my time there because it is sort of like this combination of NAMI, Hutton House, Community Youth Connection, among other volunteering places that I work at. So it's not only volunteering and youth leadership, but it is also mental health awareness, and it is also a lot of fun. So anyway, that is all. And also, thank you very much for helping and supporting us, and hope you do continue. And that's me, by the way, my big face.
May I have a resolution from the board? Madeline, would you like to receive it?
I'm going to ask my presentation here. I'm a little bit more in the middle there, so you can get photographed.
Well, I have a resolution from the board commemorating this as Mental Illness Month. And it's a very nice resolution. I think the mental health department does a terrific job, and we measure their success by, you know, days homeless, incarceration at the jails and emergency room visit declines. And they've been very successful. They have good programs and good staff. Appreciated the presentation today. I don't know who to give this to. I'll just present this to you. It's a nice resolution from the board. Would you like to have any final words?
Thank you all for listening to our stories and for taking time out of your day to hear what the youth have to say. And it's something that adults kind of take for granted to actually be listened to, but actually being able to be heard and to represent other youth, it's just invaluable for me. Thank you.
Just again, thank you for the board of our county. Very proud to be a part of Santa Claus County. And as well, just remembering that, you know, just in your community, in your own home life, just to remind yourself that mental health is just like physical health. We all have it. There should not be the stigma in our communities where, you know, we should be afraid to go receive services, receive treatment, and encourage our family members to as well be open to that. So I just, again, want to thank our county for their leadership, your leadership, and my team. May 18th through 24th is designated as Emergency Services Week in Stan Slaus County. And here to give us a presentation today is Richard Murdoch from Mountain Valley Emergency Services. Might give Mountain Valley a little plug, because many of our audience may not know what it is.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me this morning, and thank you, Mr. Chair DeMartini and Mr. Reason, Mr. Doring, and members of the board. Richard Murdoch, Executive Director with Mountain Valley EMS Agency, and we are contracted with Santa Claus County to provide emergency medical services oversight for the county. And so there's a big responsibility there with regards to oversight of emergency medical services. May 18th through the 24th is National EMS Week for 2014, and the theme this year is EMS Dedicated for Life. President Gerald Ford declared November 3rd through the 10th, 1974, as the first National EMS Week in recognition and acknowledging those individuals who were dedicated and made several compromises in order to serve the public and provide emergency medical care for those who needed assistance. In 1992, EMS Week was moved to the third week in May, and we currently recognize that on an annual basis. We would like to recognize the medical personnel. That would be dispatchers, first responders, EMTs, and paramedics who are dedicated to provide the day-to-day life-saving services when they are called, regardless of the time of day. And so a lot of sacrifices are made by these individuals, and we want to acknowledge them. For the week of May 18th through the 24th, there will be several activities that will take place to acknowledge these dedicated individuals. Several of the hospitals within Stanislaus County will be providing food for them as they arrive and deliver patients to the emergency room. The EMS agency will be providing a community CPR for those individuals that are within Stanislaus County that want to receive some free CPR. We will be teaching them out of our office for that week. And so we again just thank those individuals who have made a commitment to serving the public and providing the service that they do, regardless of the time, regardless of the season, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So thank you very much.
And Mr. Murdoch, I have a resolution from the board. If you can come up here and I'll present it to you. Mr. Murdoch, I know very well, and I've been on the Mountain Valley Emergency Services Board for about 10 years now, so it actually predates you even.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mountain Valley does a a great job, and it's an essential service in the medical procedures and monitoring ambulance response times, and it covers a wide area too. We have 5 counties in there. Let's see if it's or Stanislaus County, which we're in, Amador, Mariposa, Calaveras, and Alpine County. That's a lot of territory to keep track of. Family, you do a great job, and it's a pleasure that we present this Emergency Services Week. And I'd like to present you with this resolution from the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Would like to say any last words?
Sure. I appreciate this time and acknowledging the EMS workers on a 24/7 basis, and I really very proud to be part of the EMS environment, and I'm thankful to this county and to the leadership of this county for working in collaboration with the EMS agency to really make a better EMS environment with both private ambulance and hospital districts and the fire services. And so we're very proud and thankful.
And thank you for the work you do. We're done. We will now move to public comments. Please note that the comments are limited to 5 minutes.
I have one more presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Sheriff, I missed the line there. We have one more presentation from the Sheriff's Department. It's a video. Sheriff, sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. We want to publicly debut for you today the Sheriff's Office, our newest recruitment video. As you know, our recruitment efforts are ongoing, one of our biggest challenges is trying to capture the entire organization and have it be reflective of the services we provide in just 12 and a half minutes. So this one's fast and furious, but certainly something that we think will inspire people to join our team, as well as educate the community about the great work that the men and women of the Sheriff's Office do oftentimes under extraordinarily difficult circumstances, but this is for them. I want to publicly thank and recognize Sergeant Keith Rothenthal, who's in the audience, as well as Scott Campbell from our IT team, who helped put this together, and Final Cut Media. So please, enjoy.
Are you looking for an exciting and rewarding career in law enforcement? Then look no further than the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office. My name is Sheriff Adam Christensen. Join our team.
We have one deputy that's been shot. Multiple deputies and officers from other agencies responding to this. No one individual can do the job by themselves. For our team to succeed, we all have to work together. We have to trust each other. So if you really look for people who are motivated, you want to be in good shape, so you want to be the best of the best.
And we're all working in transportation because it's not just a job, it's a career.
part of the team instead of just out there kind of doing your own thing. You can work with the people that have your back. It's a rewarding feeling to be at the end of the day.
To move around the department are also very diverse. The people here are very professional. Everyone's dedicated to the job. Although kids at the academy is very intense, very rewarding at the same time. When you start on week one and you know you have 28 weeks still left in the academy, it seems like a very daunting task. The job can be dangerous, can hurt you, but that's what the instructor is here to do, is teach you how to overcome that adversity and become stronger and go through the challenges. When I finally got the badge in my hand, I looked down, I saw it said, Santa Claus County Deputy Sheriff. I knew this was a badge that I'm going to be wearing while I'm working the streets of Santa Claus County. That was a great feeling at that point.
I'm very committed to that volunteer, and part of the great thing is we take people from both divisions, the care deputies and the deputy sentinels. And I'm going to serve with the direction of the sheriff, and we're proud to represent the department at various functions. It's in the name, the business honor, we're pretty active in the community, and not just in this county, but around the state, and we've gone to national. Thank you.
provides patrol support from pursuits, regular patrol duties. We also do search and rescue for the region, this county, and any county that requests it. If not any time, for any hour, time of day, and what we need. Our unit is a huge asset to the Sheriff's Department in our region. We provide search and rescue for the region. We are also a force multiplier for the department and other agencies and agencies within the county. Our helicopter can help a patrol unit 10 to 1 when it comes to manpower.
We are actually crime analyst technicians. We work with deputies and detectives, anything from a burglary to a homicide. We do photography, so we have fraud scene, we have scenes for like fingerprints. We can be a CSI, we need to be a detail-oriented person, and they can multitask. They can actually work independently.
Detective Silver, we work from really hardworking. I'm not afraid of paperwork. It's my job on robbery homicide. We follow up on anything from contacting to homicide. To rob, contact people, unit homicide. We are speaking for that victim. So we do everything we can to bring justice for that person who is taken prematurely.
Recoveries, whether it being vehicle recoveries, body recoveries, unfortunately, and also for most important, recovering evidence for seven homicides that have to get out of county. So we come out here once the tow company finds a vehicle in the water, and we look at the vehicle recovered to pull it out. I love the guy team for the support. We have good camaraderie. I love getting up in the morning. I love going to work. This is something to get outside of your normal task. We need to get your support too.
Our primary focus is to locate and render safe after 7 devices that were exposed. Staffing, selected, and very, very special. If you have some excessive fear of explosives, you probably not going to see one of these members of the team. You put that in the back of your mind, focus on the training that you have to deal with.
And the men and women who protect and serve the people of Stanislaus County are proud of what they do. Our partnerships throughout the community are very strong. We work with education, agriculture, business, and many other people in the community. I work with charitable organizations and community-based organizations focused on early intervention, prevention, and education are critically important. They're promoting a healthy and safe community. We work with young people in an effort to keep them focused on education and to go through the process of methamphetamine. The men and women who serve the people of San Diego County working here at the
sheriff's office, do more than just enforcing the law, risk control, and maintaining the safety and security of our correctional facilities. They are actively engaged in community partnership and collaboration. I'm very proud of the men and women who work for the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office. Working together, we can all live in a safer community.
Okay, Sheriff, would you like to add a few words to that?
I think that says it all. Thank you.
And how are your recruitment going along?
We're in our vacancies.
Yeah, hopefully with this, it'll go public today. We'll get the link out. But this is something we're very proud of, and certainly the people that you see in this video actually are reflective of the attitude, culture, and service at the Sheriff's Office. Thank you.
Just real quick, when you say go public, so it's going to be online. Are you guys going to present this at schools, at colleges, anything like that?
Absolutely. Number one, it'll get posted on the Sheriff's YouTube channel. The actual web link will send out publicly for people to click on and to look at this. And yes, we'll be actively utilizing this at all of our recruitment fairs and events.
Okay.
Very nice. Thank you.
Very well done. Thank you, Sheriff. Now we will move on to the public comment period. Comments are limited to 5 minutes. We do have a device on the podium there that will start out with the green light, and at 30 seconds, a yellow light, and then when your time's up, the red light will come on. I have one speaker card, Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning, and thank you for the warning system.
We borrowed that from the city.
I'd like you to borrow one from, not my time, but the MID has a great one. It's a clock that says 5 minutes and then it clicks down, so you can just look at that. So if you want to visit the MID, I'm sure it's not that expensive. Yesterday afternoon, I went to a a political event at the DoubleTree Hotel in the Grand Ballroom, sponsored by Dave Bowman of KFIV. The 5 o'clock presentation was, the guests were District Attorney Birgit Thadiger and Defense Attorney Frank Carson. That's how Bowman introduced them, not as a candidate. But in any event, after that event, I might remark that Bowman advertised that for a week. When I got there at 5 o'clock, there were 5 people there. I mean, there's some apathy here. The room was set up for 300. I counted the cookies. There were 150 cookies, so they expected at least 150. That's not too important. It is important that as I left the Center Plaza, and I was walking out towards K Street, there was a black Chrysler sedan parked in the middle of the street. And it backed up, and I realized that what they were doing was taking my picture, everybody's picture. I know that district attorney investigators were in the car. As I walked towards the car and I got to the sidewalk, they proceeded to leave. Frank Carson and I walked across the street to his pickup truck. And the black car, black Chrysler, and we have the license plate number, went around the block and was waiting on 9th and K to make a left-hand turn onto K Street. I was standing behind the truck. As the car moved into that lane, it swerved towards me and then kept on going. There was Cadillac Escalade behind the black car. Mr. Carson and I followed the black car and the Escalade to Needham. They turned right at Needham, and when they got to McHenry, The Escalade went through a red light so it could keep up with the back car. So we waited for the light to turn green, and we proceeded down McKinley to Elmwood Court, where we parked by the Mediterranean Market and Grill. As we got out of the truck, here came the black car. They had followed us, and then they proceeded to go down Elmwood Court. You know, I used to call, I referred to Modesto as being a political blood sport. I'm not going to tell you the name of the driver. I'm going to seek that information from the chief of police of the city of Modesto. And I will ask for that this evening at the city council meeting. I came here before and I've told you that you have SWAT teams that are completely out of control. What they're doing to the Athwell brothers in Turlock, you've read that. If you haven't read it, read it again. Because eventually, this is not, I'm sorry, June, as you said, after the election, it'll be forgotten. No, it won't. I have a political action committee called D.A. Flatiger. We call 2000 on June 3rd. If the district attorney wins June 3rd, this whole investigation will go on. I have a blog talk radio show in June. I'm expecting to be there Thursday, 11:30. We want to talk to you. We want to communicate with you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Sabatino. That's the only speaker card I have. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors, staff. My name is Dave Gere, former member of the Modesto City Council. I spoke to you last month, fairly early last month, about my concerns about the new education system, Common Core State Standards. And I do this because our children are our future. And if we don't get control of education in this country and local control of education in this country, we are lost. The devil is in the details, and the details are rolling out fast now. The state of Indiana is dropping Common Core. The state of South Carolina is dropping Common Core. And thankfully, finally somebody, although he's very controversial, has come out with a book, $14.99 paperback. It's published by the Glenn Beck Organization, but it's really written by a gentleman named Carl Olson. He's from Michigan. He's the founder of Education Action Group Foundation. And he, along with Kevin Baffey and the contributors of Sharon Andrews, Steve Gunn, and Ben Velderman, have published what I consider the best book about not just Common Core, but public education in general. And I am going to give this copy of this book to my supervisor, Terry Whitrow, who I want to publicly thank for coming to the forum held by candidate for superintendent of public instruction last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, at a home out in the county in his district. And Lenier Gutierrez is one of the three candidates for superintendent of public instruction. She's the only educator in the group. She's currently teaching in Southern California. She's very well versed on the Common Core issues. And I encourage everybody to look her up and find out what she thinks about the education system today. I am also giving copies of a Barnes & Noble printout that talks about the book. It's called Conform, Exposing the Truth About Common Core and Public Education by Glenn Beck and the others that I mentioned. Anecdotally, the book just came out last a week ago today. It's in Barnes & Noble right now, fairly prominently displayed. And I went in the previous Friday to order the book. And the Barnes & Noble sales rank at that time was 1,323. That means 1,322 books were
selling faster or being ordered faster. By Saturday, the number had dropped to 223. Right now, I believe it's 102 in the Barnes & Noble system. But I've got enough copies here for you folks and your, hopefully your staff and department heads. Just take a look at it. If it doesn't look like anything you're interested in, fine. If you're concerned about public education in the country today, I'd encourage you to look further into it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Mr. Gere. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, gentlemen. Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, CEO, County Council. Why is it nobody ever gives me a book? But I do like a shirt, Dave. It's all right. Now, wait a second. It's my time. How do we know this is accurate, by the way? I'm sure that it is. There are a couple topics I want to, you know, obviously political consultants have stepped in because this is a much more sedate public comment period this week. And I find that unfortunate because I got two good stories and two radio shows out of it. So, you know, come on back, people, please. Some concerns that were generated last week. We heard some, quite honestly, some political bombast from up here. We followed up with public record requests. And Mr. Doran, I want to thank you for leading with your department from the front. You've always been helpful to the citizens of Stanislaus County. I had a conversation with a very busy man named Thomas Bose. He explained to me a prior public record request that had been made because I surely didn't understand it. We had heard about the 25 requests. The sheriff had only made one, but law enforcement makes them all, according to the sheriff, which I'm sure he's correct. So we placed another one to try to quantify who else has been doing this. Plus, we're trying to find out whether or not Ms. Flatiger's investigators were actually in these requesting. You know, they say it comes from law enforcement. These investigators are tied with law enforcement. Are they the ones that are generating some of these requests? I don't know. Again, I don't have a dog in this fight, but, you know, since Joe created the Humble Bumble down at the Modesto Bee, the watchdog with no teeth, somebody's got to stand up and be counted, so to speak, and, you know, one of his volunteers on a regular basis. So I just wanted to point out a couple things that have come up. I'm concerned to the public across the board. I want to start with Modesto's hiring Jim Holgerson from Arlington, Texas. This gentleman, according to a consultant, was considered irredeemable. But Modesto's reaching out and grabbing the man. Good show, Modesto. Now, switching to the county race for just a second, as I like to go through the 460s, as everybody knows, I was wandering through Mr. Lopez's, Councilman Dave Lopez's 460s. And would it surprise you to learn, although I'm not expecting a response, out of 17 donors that contributed $1,000 or more, he only listed the occupations of the businesses on five. That's less than one-third. Now, if you were a newbie coming in, I would understand you're not familiar with FPPC regulations, saying you're supposed to get that information. And if you're a $100 contributor, I understand how maybe you might not notice. But when some gentleman's getting you a check for $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000, I expect you to get that information, especially when you're getting them from LLCs, different organizations that if you don't know who they are, you don't have a clue that the Mike Zagaris is contributing to the game. So please, I made the FPPC complaint, but obviously time-wise, it's not going to make a bit of difference. It's always afterwards. And hopefully the SOB will speak up because they are aware of this information, yet they choose not to say anything. And I'm referring to the editorial staff, quite honestly, thanks to Mr. Cater. Moving right along. There's some talk about county insurance costs when it comes to these lawsuits. I think it would be nice for the public to know over, public record request is coming, obviously, from 10, 11, 12, and 13, how much our insurance costs have gone up to pay for some of these lawsuits that we're receiving time and time again. You hear people say, well, if we only have to pay the first $150,000 or $250,000, I'm not saying those numbers are accurate. Don't misunderstand me. But from our car insurance, we all know that if you use that insurance, it goes up. And as you know, the county health insurance, when you use that, it's all rated on how much was spent. Same way with workers' comp. It all depends on what you spent. So I would like to know how much our insurance rates have gone up, and I'm not going to say you're going to say it's due to something, but it's going to be due to insurance settlements. We'll just leave it at that. Now, I'm going to get off here before I hit the red. Check that out. You know, Ms. Flanagan, 2 years ago, I came out and pointed out that she didn't care much about animal abuse because of the cities of Stanislaus County. She refused to enforce state ordinances, and cities of Stanislaus County had to band together, individually at least, and pound out an ordinance to protect us from animal abusers. And now that's come to light recently, and you can find it on the I Am Modesto, yes, indeed. There's some questions about elder abuse. There's some serious concerns that she hadn't stepped in and done something about it. We know she's too busy to stop with the animal abuse, but maybe it's time, we're talking about conservatorships, and maybe it's time that she opened her eyes and do something about it. I thought I would bring it in under. I apologize. Leon County Council, I thank you very much. Gentlemen?
Hey, thank you for your comments, Mr. Drake. Is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to address this board on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, we will now move to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar for a separate vote? Anybody from the audience wish to pull a consent item? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve consent calendar.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's made and seconded. We approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0. We have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from MBK Engineering regarding the temporary transfer of water from the Plymouth Mutual Water Company to participating state water contractors by groundwater substitution.
Report to the Department of Environmental Resources, the Department of Public Works, and the Agricultural Commissioner.
This board has received a letter from MBK Engineering regarding the temporary transfer of water from Garden Highway Mutual Water Company to the San Luis and Delta Mendota Water Authority by groundwater substitution.
Referred to the Department of Environmental Resources, the Department of Public Works, and the Agricultural Commissioner.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor Chiesa.
CSAC Legislative Conference this week, starting tomorrow, discussions on water, realignment, and all the fixings, everything that we're working on, and a little bit into Thursday. So if you have an opportunity to get to Sacramento, starts at 8:30 tomorrow morning with a ledge breakout session. I think there's the budget chair from Senate and the Assembly talking about the new revise, which just came out just a few minutes ago. I'm kind of trying to read through it right now. And then followed by a water discussion with Secretary Laird, Secretary Ross, and someone from the State Regional Water Board. So it should be interesting.
Are there any other board reports? Seeing none, we'll move to the legislative and fiscal management report. Mr. Risen.
And thank you, Chairman. As Supervisor Kaiser just mentioned, the governor just released his May revise for the coming state proposed budget. In that revise, he's projecting revenues to be up about $2.4 billion. His May revise includes a large focus on paying down debt and reducing long-term liabilities. That includes putting $1.6 billion aside for a rainy day fund, another $1.6 billion to pay off some economic recovery bonds, funding to shore up the CalSTRS, which is the teacher pension plan, which has only been running about 67% funded. And then a big focus is Medi-Cal has increased statewide from prior to covered California and the Affordable Care Act, about 7.9 million enrollees. Now they're tracking over 11.5 million enrollees, so I think about a 46% increase. And so the state budget reflects an additional $1.2 billion to fund that Medi-Cal expansion. Cursory looks, and like I said, it only came out a few minutes ago. not seeing, uh-oh, I guess there goes my 5 minutes. The time's up. See, I guess Emerson and I are good help with this standard, huh? They didn't seem that way. Now that's between the pie. Not seeing any immediate impacts to the counties, but we'll have, like this only been out a few minutes, so we'll have to take some time to dig into it.
I've got one as I look through of the three asks that that California counties had. One of them is including the budget. And when we talk about the wall of debt, there's three components. There's the reserve, rainy day fund, the wall of debt, and then there's just money for programs. And he included $100 million to pay back a portion of the billion or so owed to counties and schools and cities on the mandated program. So he has included $100 million for, and a portion of that will end up in cities and counties for unfunded, of which I think we have about $9 million here in Stanislaus County.
I think that concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Risen. We will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Goring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1, involving three cases. First is Stanislaus Audubon Society versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 683325. Additionally, there's West Stanislaus Irrigation District versus the heirs and devisees of J.P. Hammonds et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 2004207. Additionally, West Stanislaus Irrigation District versus Burkhart Investment Company et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 2004208. Additionally, there is conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes. The labor organizations are those listed on the agenda. We do reasonably expect to report out on some, if not all, of the litigation matters.
Okay, this meeting stands adjourned.